that a Christian could deal with. And if there ever was a day for you to pay attention, this is the day to pay attention. Because I believe this is where some of us are missing the ball. It's an important thing. Sometimes you go, when it comes to, you get this thought in your head and you pray and you pray and you pray and you ask God for guidance. You ask him to give you an answer and you can't tell if it's from God. You can't tell if it's from the devil. You can't tell if it maybe it was a bad burrito that you ate or something like that. And you're going like, well, what is it? Is it one of those? How do I figure that out? How do I know if something that I get in my head, is I call them impressions, how do I know is it from God? And that's what we're going to talk about today. How do I know if I get a thought in my head, is it from God or is it just something else? A lot of churches, when they talk about this, they talk about impressions. They would say like a word of knowledge. You get a word of knowledge. Some people would say, I got a word from God. I got something that God has asked me to do. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's good. But in my vein, in the last 20-some years that of my study and understanding, I like to just say it's an impression, that God puts an impression in my noggin. And the impression comes in my noggin, and I have to do something with it. I have to say it's there, I have to deny it, or I have to act on what that is. And for, I think for today, some of you, this could be a kind of a frightening lesson. This can be frightening from the standpoint that what you're going to do is you may have never said, I ever heard from God. God has never really talked to me. Some of you are frustrated because you've asked God and you don't seem to hear. Some of you are here and you say, I talk to him by prayer all the time and God just doesn't speak to me. And so I want you to understand today, we're going to talk about how do you understand the voice of God? How do you understand the voice of God? And this is a biggie. This is a tough one because if you don't get the voice of God, you miss out on what he's saying to you. And so you're going through life talking to him and it's in a one-way relationship. All you talking and never him speaking back to you. That can't be. That can't be. Why would he encourage us to talk to him and have that relationship and then not answer us back, not have some kind of ongoing conversation going with us? So this week, we want to look at how do I know when it's God? How do I know when it's God? When I get this idea in my mind, how do I know that it's from him? Two scriptures very quickly to start off with. Proverbs 14, verse 12. Proverbs 14, 12. And then 1 John 4, 1 say this. What you think is the right road may lead to death. I want you to take that in. What you think is the right road, the right path, when that impression comes in, it may be death. Then 1 John 4, 1. Don't believe every message you hear, because when someone says that it's a message from God, you don't believe every message because somebody says it's a message from God, because then it goes on and it says this. It says, test it to see if it really is. Test it to see if it really is. Now, I've lived in churches before. I've been to other churches. Our church is not so much, but I've been to other churches before and been a part of other churches where people will come in and they will tell me what God wants to tell me, his word for me. Oftentimes, it's some truth to it. Oftentimes, not. But I want you to know that if God wants you to know something, he's going to tell you first. He's going to tell you first, and he'll confirm it with brothers and sisters. But the first thing that John says is if you get an impression from God, if something comes into your heart and you, everybody say goodbye to Vincent. He's leaving. He's got to go back. There goes Viona. Viona, are you coming back? Okay, good. Not today, but sometime. Okay. Everybody wave. Goodbye. There they go. All right. I can't miss that. All right. So the important thing to grab onto today is this. That there's a test, that you have to have some testing to know that God is talking back to you, to know if it's just a bad burrito. You want to know. Because the moment you get an idea from God, the next idea, the next second, you can get an idea from Satan. I want you to grab onto this, guys. It is very, very easy for God to talk to you. It is also very, very easy for Satan to put thoughts in your head. Classic example of this is one day Jesus and Peter and his 12 disciples are sitting around, and the 12 are sitting there, and Peter, and Jesus asked Peter, he says, hey Peter, who do you think I am? Who do you say I am? Well, Lord, you're the Christ, you're the Messiah, says Peter. Jesus looks straight at Peter and he says at Peter's face, right on, Peter, right on. You've spoken the truth. You've spoken flesh and blood, but it didn't reveal it to you. It's flesh and blood did not give you this. What this idea that you got, it came from God. You know who I am, and it came from God. There's a test. But then, 2 seconds later, in the same setting, he's sitting there with Jesus and the disciples. 2 seconds later, get this. This is why I'm going over this today. Jesus says to Peter, hey, Peter, I got to go to Jerusalem, and I'm going to be crucified, and I'm going to die there. And Peter says, no way, nonsense. No, we won't let that happen. No, I'll do something about it. You can't do that. And not 2 seconds later, Jesus says in the Bible, says these 4 words, get behind me, Satan. Just like that. Turn around. You know who you got your word from, and get behind me, Satan. See, Peter was on board with everything God was saying one moment. And the next moment, it's like, listen to the other guy. He's saying, that thought, Peter, didn't come from God. We do this all the time. We get these impressions, and they're godly impressions. But right behind it comes something else. And if we act on it and we don't know which one is from God and which one's from the devil, there is a problem. So here you are today. You're sitting in this Impact Christian Church. You came to church and you're asking this question. Well, Jeff, how do I know that it's really God? How do I know that I've heard from God? I'm going to give you a couple tests that I've been able to pull out of the Bible. And you want to write these down? You can. It's also on our Facebook page. Everything that we're talking about is on our Facebook page. You can go to it. It says Sermons Notes. Here we go. First one. Let's look at the first test. The first test is this. It has to line up with the Bible. If you get an impression, it has to line up with the Bible. If it doesn't line up with the Bible, it is not from God. Because God's will never contradicts God's word. God is consistent. God is not moody. You are. God doesn't change his mind. You do. Here's the truth. God's truth is eternal. It never, ever changes. Luke 21:33, Jesus said this, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never, never pass away. God's word on earth is eternal, and so if you get an impression and it contradicts this, there's a problem. There's a real problem. For instance, in the book of Romans, the Bible tells us, pay your taxes unto Caesar. And if you're here today and you think you can cheat Caesar, you can cheat the government because God may have said to you, you know, just it's okay. That ain't right. That goes against God's word. Anything that's in God's word, you have to line up with. God says, don't have sex before marriage. But it feels good. It doesn't matter how it feels like. It's a truth. It's a truth that he gave us. It's got to line up with this right here. If your impression, you get an idea, you prayed. It can't go against the Bible. It can't go against the Bible. The second test is this. Does this impression make me more like Jesus? Does this impression, does this idea that I get, I prayed and I prayed and prayed, does it make me more like Christ? See, Jesus is the standard by which I've got to evaluate every choice and decision I make every day. Because God's purpose in your life is to make you more like Jesus. James 3, 14 through 17 says this. I think it'll come up on the screen. James 3, 14 and 17. And there's a bunch of meat in here, and I could do a whole sermon on this, but I just want to show you some things that the devil is and who God is. Watch what James 3 says. If you harbor bitter envy and self-ambition, that word, that wisdom is from the devil. Anything that has evil involved in it, envy or selfish, taking care of you first, is not from God. It's from the devil. Flat out, James says. And then he gives us six things that it is. Watch this. He goes right on into it. The wisdom that comes from God is this. It is pure, perfect. It is peace-loving. Anything that tells you you got to go to battle with somebody, beat somebody up, take some hair off of somebody else's chest to get even, that isn't a word from God. It also says to be considerate, to be submissive, to be full of mercy, to be impartial, not just for your family, not just for you, but to look at the good of others and to be sincere. If that word that you get, that impression you get, you pray, if it goes against any of those things, it's not from God. It's not from God. Point blank. Church, it takes so much maturity and it takes so much wisdom to find the beauty in every person. And that's our job as Christians, is to look at people not for who they are, but to look at people for what God is going to do in them. Because as you look at most of us, we're pretty much jerks. We pretty much do jerky things all the time. We let each other down. We let our spouses down. We think thoughts in our head that we should never, ever let go. Well, she's that way. He's like that. And you think of it, I could throw out a name and immediately you're going to have some stuff that's going to come up and you're going to think and say, this is who that person is. And it takes so much of those things that I just said, the peace and the patience and the sincerity to be able to say, that's not who they are. This is who they are in Christ. This is who they're going to become. This is who they can become. Because if you don't do that, your love will not come out. And you will not love those that are hard to love and those that are even harder to love. See, it takes wisdom to find good and beauty in things that are not good and beautiful. It is full of mercy. It means you're going to be gracious to other people. It's an idea from God. You can roll with it and know that even though you're going through some pain, God wants you to do what you're doing. The third test, does my Jesus family confirm this impression? So I get this thought in my head. God wants us to do this. He wants us to move 5,000 miles away to Dubai. We're going to go to Dubai. And God told me to do this. Does my church family back that up? Do they come alongside of me? And this is where one I don't think very many of us are using. We're not using this. You ask, what do other mature Christian believers think about this idea that I've just had? Do you ever ask anybody that? Or do you just go barreling to straight ahead? Just going to do this because that's what I'm going to do. It's just what I'm going to do. How many of us do that? A lot of us. Well, it feels right. Door open. Yeah. Oh, okay. It's a good. But what about asking some mature believers? Why is this important? because you are not meant to live alone. You were not meant to be an island. You were not meant to do and be secretive all the time and keep all your crap in with you, because you're scared to put your stuff out there because somebody may say, no, don't do that. One of the biggest reasons we mess up our lives today, one of the biggest reasons we mess up our lives today is because we either don't have godly friends or we don't go to our godly friends and we don't ask them because we don't want to know the answer. We already know they're going to say no. You're going to do what? You're going to do what? Does my Jesus family confirm my impressions? Or do they say no? Bring that into the equation and see how some of your choices start changing. Well, I can't trust them. Then you know what? You need to make some mature believer friends that you can trust. Fourth test. Is it convicting rather than condemning? Does that impression convict me to do something, or does it condemn me? Let's talk about that. If you miss the difference between this, the difference between convicting and condemning, you're going to find yourself making bad decisions all the time. You thought you heard God's voice, but really it's the voice of condemnation. So what's the difference between conviction and this general feeling of condemnation? Well, let's suss that out a little bit. Conviction comes from God. It always comes from God. He gives it to us to correct us. He gives it to us to make course corrections. He gives it to us so we don't step where we're supposed to not step. So I say something to my kids I shouldn't have said, and it comes back to my head. Oh, that's conviction. I yelled at my kids. Oh, that's conviction. That's conviction. I got to go make it right. Conviction versus condemnation. Look at this. I think I put this on here. Condemnation from God versus condemnation, conviction from God versus condemnation from Satan. Conviction, that should have been all the way across there. Sorry about that. But anyway, it goes like this. Conviction exposes what's wrong. Conviction, this needs to change. Condemnation attacks your values. Condemnation says, you're stupid. Why are you even doing that? Why are you even trying again? What are you doing trying this? Why are you trying to eat right again? Why are you trying to... See, that's the difference between conviction and condemnation. Remember Romans 8:1. It's our favorite verse that we use here so much. Because you get beat up in your head. There is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. You have great value. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. You have great worth. Everything about you is worthwhile to God. God looks at you and goes, yeah, buddy. Yeah, buddy. He is so proud of you. He loves you. He does not hate you. He does not want you to misstep. He wants you to flourish. That's God. But see, we get the condemnation thing. Well, you're ugly. You're dumb. You are always doing the wrong thing. You're always making the wrong choice. Condemnation is like a dark cloud of guilt. Just hovers over some of you. And some of you are wearing it really, really proudly. And you shouldn't be. When God speaks, it should be like a pinpoint of light, like chung, like a laser beam. This is what I need you to do, sister, brother, son, daughter, go this way. Okay. God's system of conviction is not like our justice system. His system has a three-part prong to it, unlike the justice system that our, it's the best system we got, but it's not like God's. God's system is this way. First comes conviction. I did wrong. I screwed up. I shouldn't have made that choice. I've done something wrong. Secondly, here's the good news. Jesus steps in and he goes, give it to me. Here, I got it. Give it to me. And he takes it and he runs away with it. It's gone. Jesus takes that condemnation that comes on us. And what he does is he takes it because it becomes, at that point, it becomes all about the cross, not about your stupidity. That's the good news. That's why it's such good news. We call this gathering a good news gathering. That's the good news. The cross is the good news. You don't have to stand before God looking like a schmuck. You stand before God and all he sees is Jesus. And the third part of God's justice system is then the most beautiful. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. I don't have to live. I'm not living on yesterday's choices. Yes, I was a stupid yesterday. Yes, I did another thing wrong again and again. But I'm forgiven. Revelation 12:10, the Bible says this about the other guy. Satan is the accuser of the believers. He wants you to think that you're finished. He wants you to think that you're not enough. He wants you to think that your best days are over, that you're some older person sitting here going, I don't know, I just wish he'd take me home. And God is saying to you today, I got something for you. And it may not be for you, it may be for somebody else. It may be for someone else. Think about this. When it comes to sin, here's what happens. Satan takes it and he presents it to us, and we look at it and he goes, no big deal. Here's a bite. Take a bite. Take this bite, just a little bite. So we bite. And immediately after we bite, he's sitting there going, you idiot, what did you do? Because that's who he is. He's the tempter, and he's the one that beats us up time and time again. The minute you hear Satan's voice saying, how could you do that? How could you call yourself a Christian and you just did that again? Here's the point. You, in your impressions and your prayer, you have to allow conviction, because conviction is incredible. You have to say, I was wrong, multiple times a day, to yourself, to God, and to others. Reject condemnation, because condemnation allows you to stop being convicted. Follow along with that, okay? When you continue to beat yourself up, you don't take conviction very easy, because you're going, what's the use? What's the use? The last test. Here it is. This is a simple one, but it's a good one. Do I have peace? Do I have peace? This impression comes. I prayed, God, I want to do this. I want you to do this thing in me. Not I want to do it, but I want you to do this thing. You have peace about it. If you feel pressure, if you feel overwhelmed about a choice that you're about to make, if you feel confused about a decision that you're trying to make, listen to this. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says this. God is not the author of confusion. It's the other one. It's the other guy. I don't even like to say his name. He's the author of all things confusing. So you're feeling confused. Guess what? It's another voice. It's not his voice. You say, I don't know what to do. It's not God's voice. God doesn't bring confusion. You do, because you're not obeying. You bring confusion because you're not done what he already told you to do. So the confusion is there. Those of you that are parents, listen for a second. Do you want your kids to feel pressure? Do you want them to feel confused when you ask them to do something? No. No, you don't. You want them to understand it, and you want them to follow what you said, because you know what's best for them in that instance. And that's God, the perfect Father. He wants you to understand what he's asking you to do. Do I sense God's peace in my life? The only time, now get this, listen, if some of you are feeling pressure about a decision or a choice, the only time pressure could be legitimate is if God's told you to do something and you keep saying no. No, not going to do it. And you're going to start to feel pressure. Now follow me here. The difference between Satan and God is Satan wants to drive you to be compulsive. Many of you understand that word because you're very compulsive. He wants you to drive you to just be so compulsive, that's all you do. God wants to drive you to be compassionate. Compassionate to yourself, to others, to your family, to everybody you see around you. Not compulsively. How many of us act so compulsively? Just boom, 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 boom. I'll do this. I'll do this. I'll do this. I'll do this. I'll tell you, grab this. It's like working in a fast food restaurant. Boom, take some of this. Take some of this. Take this. Put some ketchup on. Put some mayo. That's how we run our lives. And God is saying, wait, wait, wait. There's some tests you can do. I think we all have OCD, every one of us. And Satan wants us to take advantage of our compulsions, and he wants us, and he uses it to drive our lives so we're so compulsive that we forget what God wants us to do. We don't listen. When God answers us, it never creates anxiety or worry. It creates the exact opposite. He didn't know it or not, but Cade was sitting in here a few minutes ago and somebody asked him, it just popped in my head, I'm sorry if I'm not calling you out, but somebody asked him if he was nervous. He said, no, I don't think I am. I think he just had peace about it. He you know, of course he was a little bit nervous, but his first answer off, he said, no, I'm not. There was peace. It takes a lot to stand up here and do what he just did. It takes a lot to do the things you do. And if you don't have peace when you're doing it, you're missing what God asked you to do, because he wants to give you peace through every decision and choice that you make. When God answers, it doesn't create anxiety and worry in your heart. Proverbs 22:17 says this, listen to wise advice, follow it closely, for it will do you good. Then you pass it along to other people. Do you see how we've missed a step there? Because if you are not compassionate, if you are compulsive, all you're doing is taking care of you, and other people are going to hell in a handbag. See ya. You go on your way. Have a nice day. Enjoy that death over there. Enjoy that sickness. Enjoy that. You have no compassion. It's out the door. Listen to this wise advice. Follow it closely, for it will do you good. Pass it along to other people. When's the last time you had something to pass along to another person? Part of the reason you don't pass along to the other person because you don't have a lot of good stuff to pass along. Because you've been handling stuff on your own. Because you've been just doing life at breakneck speed, taking care of you. Not consulting God. Going here, going there. And then going, God, where are you? God, where are you? Lastly, if you're here today and you say, you know, I used to get impressions. I used to hear from God, but not so much anymore. Not so much anymore. What's going on? It could be that you've allowed sin to come between you and God. You're doing something you know is wrong. God has talked to you about it and talked to you about it and talked to you about it. And you've got a blockage. And there's a blockage that needs to be pulled out that only God can pull out. But it comes with you having an admission of guilt and saying, God, here it is. I give it to you again. You take it. You clean me up because I'm a mess. It may be a relationship that you need to let go of. It may be a habit that you need to let go of. It may be an addiction that has hurt you, that has hurt others. It may be that you're here today and you're still holding somebody on the hook for something they did to you 10 years ago. Some divorce, one divorce, two divorces. For the kids of those, whatever happened, I don't know. But you're still holding it against them. That has created a barrier between you and God. And God is saying to you today, I want to blow that barrier out of the water. I want you to start anew. What you need to do this morning during our ministry time as the band comes is to confess to God, God, I got a blockage. God, I don't know even what it is, maybe. I'm not aware, but I think there's something going on between me and you. I want to turn away from my sin. I want to turn back to you. I want to be able to hear from you. I want to be able to test things and go, that's God. That's God. So as you sit here today during ministry time, as the lights go down, as the band begins to play, you talk to God and say, what is in me that is not clean? What is in my heart that needs to be unblocked? Convict me today. Let me move away from the condemnation. Block my ears from the condemnation. Move me towards your son, Jesus. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your word. We pray that you'll begin to let us be a church again that hears from you. And then we take that word that we get and we act on it. God, most of the time you give us a word, it's a word for us. It's not a word for the others, it's a word for us. And the more we act on that, the more you give us things to tell others, to share others, to reach out to others and say, here's where I found God in this. But God, we come today to say we're sorry. God, we come today to say, forgive us. We come today to say, God, we want to hear from you today. We pray these things in